Hi, I'm Paul Grenier. This is Whiskey and Wood, bringing the people, the stories, and the success to you. This is a multi-billion dollar industry, and these guys and gals are out to get a piece of it. Why Whiskey and Wood? Why not?
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Whiskey and Wood. Super excited to be sitting down with Cam Anderson of Blacktail Studios out of Portland, Oregon. Cam, glad to have you. It's like I was just saying, I watch your stuff all the time. You're an artist in every sense of the form, from the furniture you make to the content you make. And really, you've kind of developed this cult-like following amongst the woodworkers that I talk to all the time. And your name gets brought up all the time, like, hey, you guys should reach out to Cam at Blacktail Studios. He does awesome stuff. Have you heard of him? And I'm like, of course I've heard of him. And, you know, ironically, one of the products that you made has nothing to do with wood. It's the denim desk.
You think you guys could dry one of those out for me?
Yeah, sure. We would try it, but I don't know how much it would work.
Well, I guess you guys have the vacuum chambers. Would that work as a vacuum press in some way or degassing? Well,
we have two kinds of kilns. We have the air style vacuum chambers, which a lot of our customers use those. They're not as fast, but they're more versatile. So we purposely stop the vacuum at 8 inches of mercury, which 29.62 is sea level on a 70 degree day, and zero is outer space. Okay. So 8 is about 2,000 feet above the height of Everest. We stop there so that we have enough oxygen to move air. It's less versatile. I mean, sorry, it's more versatile, but it's a little slower. And then we have our plate dryers. So our plate dryers do press the wood.
That could work for denim.
Yeah, I think it would. I think it would.
My next video out is a different kind of denim table, so I'm doing more of it.
Oh, you're doing another one?
I had a couple corners on that first one that the layering was kind of exposed on. It was mostly the offcuts, and I was like, that'd be cool if I could like make a Damascus one, like intentionally.
Yeah.
So I put a bunch of plywood pieces in different shapes underneath. So when I vacuum bagged it down, it contoured all of those and then ran it through a planer, and it's pretty cool. Oh, I'm actually really excited about it.
I can't wait to see it. And that's what I really like about your channel. You think outside of the box and super artistic. So how did this all get started? This crazy, I mean, what you're doing now, you're building furniture, but also as a creator, your content is, I think it's great because A, you're relatable. You put yourself out there and you say, hey, these are my mistakes. I messed up here. Not always easy to do on the internet when you've got a million people chiming in. And
I feel like I started admitting my mistakes more to shut the people up, and I get way less people pointing out the things that I mess up when I point them out, and they're like, oh, it takes the fun out for them. So it's easier that way. And my whole rule of content from the time I started, like on Instagram, where I got going, was just make something that doesn't annoy people. You know, it doesn't always have to be the most interesting, but you know, that's the goal, is to hopefully make something people want to click on, but at least don't make stuff be that annoys people. And so far it's worked out okay.
Good rule of thumb. I'll try to live by that myself. I don't know. So how did you get started, really? Like, before, like, were you always making furniture, or did...
No, the previous house my wife and I bought, it was built by an auto mechanic, and it was kind of a normal suburban home, but it had like a 1600 square foot garage. It was like a 6-car garage that he built for his cars.
Yeah.
And I've always liked projects and tinkering with things, but I wasn't really a woodworker. And we'd bought that house, and used to be a life flight pilot, and pilots had a 7 days on and 7 days off schedule. So I'm like, I need a hobby, and I got a lot of space, and started just woodworking, and was pretty bad at it, and just got going that way.
Yeah, well, that's hopeful because a lot of guys I feel like start out and they're not really great at something, but it's just a progression. Keep on practicing and keep on moving forward. And so, were you always on Instagram, or when did the Instagram part of the business start to?
So I was making a couple things, and again, I can't stress it how bad and new I was to this. But my wife told me this would have been probably 2016, 2015, somewhere in there. She goes, "You should be on Instagram." And I wasn't even on there personally, so I didn't really know much about it. And she's like, "Yeah, you might be able to find a customer or do whatever." And I was like, "Okay." So I put up, seven photos and nothing happened. And, I had like two followers or five followers, but four more bots, and one of them was my wife. And I didn't like back then, I thought I had to go up to you and say, like, "Hello, will you please follow my Instagram page? Like, here's the button." I didn't know like people could find you. And so we were on vacation, and I was like, "How's Instagram going?" And I'm like, "Oh, stupid, like," and she goes, "Let me see your phone." And so we're just kind of getting ready in the morning, doing whatever. And she has it for 30 minutes or an hour. And I get my phone back, and I had like seven followers. And I'm like, what happened? She's like, "Here's a hashtag, and here's what hashtags do." And I'm like, "Oh, like that you could search, people are searching woodworking. So hashtag woodworking will show you this." And I'm like, "All right, I can." So I was just a hashtag king then for a while. Like, it doesn't matter much now, but I'm like, everything. And pretty soon I was pretty good at Instagram and like kind of understood that part of social media, and that launched everything else.
Yeah. And it's funny, so iDry is a brand, of course. That's kind of when I first talked to Jim and he brought me on, and I'm like, how are you finding customers for these kilns? And he said the same thing. He goes, one of his friends goes, hey, you should be on Instagram. I see all kinds of guys on there making these crazy tables with thick wood. And we kind of both said at the same time, I'm like, I thought Instagram was for like posting food pictures and pictures of your family or
Yeah,
something.
exactly. Yeah.
I didn't know the power of it, but it's crazy how much of a powerful tool it is. And it must have been wild as you started to start with your, four or five people that followed you to where are you now? You get millions of views on your videos and
It's bizarre that there's people out there that, yeah, care and actually follow my stuff. And
unbelievable.
some, few people out there would say they're fans. Like, it's just like, I'm like, yeah, same guy
Yeah.
was, before I started making furniture, but now, because I can get some views, people are
Yeah.
interested in that.
That's what I said to myself. I'm like, man, I'm going to be talking to Cam. He gets a million views. And then I'm like, I'm sure he's just a normal guy, like all the other guys I speak to. And that's what it is. It's,
It's funny because I think, first of all, it's like I don't get recognized very often. I'm far, far from a celebrity, but in like a small little niche, some people will recognize me.
yeah.
And do you guys go to Workbench Con?
No, we didn't. Actually, Jess just sent me the info, and I think we might go this year.
Cool.
Yeah.
But we went last year. We were out, and we went out to the bars afterwards. And I'm talking to some people, and this girl asks, "What I do?" And I said, "I do YouTube." And I just like kind of left it at that. And she's like, "Oh, let me see your channel." And so I typed it in, and she like looked up, and she quote like, I feel like weird saying this, but she like realized who I was. And she's like, "But you're like a normal, you're a normal guy." I'm like, "What am I supposed to say? Like,
Yeah.
do you know who I am?" And she's like, "Some people do." And I'm like, "It's just weird." So
Yeah, it's
no, and
gotta be
like, there's
strange.
a very small niche of people that know who I am and follow my stuff, but it's weird for me.
Was there like what was your breakout video? Do you must have had one video where you put it out there or one picture and all of a sudden it blew up and started getting mega views? Do you remember which video that was or which
Oh,
piece of content?
absolutely, yeah. I'd been on Instagram for a couple years, and I like I'm gonna start YouTube. And I didn't really know what to expect, but some things were starting to happen from Instagram, maybe a customer or things like that, that I thought could only be good. And first couple of videos were pretty bad, and I'd made an epoxy table video, and it got like 40,000 views, which was good. Like, I thought that was a good video for, I think I had about 400 followers on Instagram or on YouTube at that time. And I almost didn't make the next epoxy table video because I was like, "I've already done an epoxy table video. Who would want to watch the same thing twice? Like, who wants to see two
Yeah.
epoxy tables get made?" And I was like, oh, I'll do it anyway. And that one pretty quick went to like 2 million views. And I went to like 20,000 subscribers. And I was like, there's something here. Like this YouTube thing might actually be more than I thought, more than just the rogue customer. And that, yeah, that one video kind of launched the rest of my social media, or made me kind of focus more on social media.
Crazy. It's crazy how much of a powerful tool that is. And really, I'm still learning. When I started working at iDry and Jim's like, hey, I want to start a podcast. Like, that was never in my job description. And the
Sure.
reason why I called it Whiskey and Wood is because I was so nervous about sitting in front of a camera and putting, you essentially put yourself out there when you put stuff on the internet. And
Yeah.
like I said, I'm gonna need to have a drink of whiskey when we do this so that I
Okay.
can relax a bit. And it's like anything. The more you do it, the more you realize, okay, it's not that big of a deal. Yeah, it's been.
And I'm not particularly shy, but I'm also not like the personality that I think can carry something. I can't, like, I have to make the content carry the person or the video for the most part. But I didn't like, I was, or I wasn't good on camera, talking to the camera like a lot of the guys at the time were doing. So I just did voiceovers, and I found that kept the action moving more than other videos that stop, explain for 3 minutes, and then go something. And I was like, it was kind of a good happy accident of I didn't feel good on camera, so I just voiceovered it. And I think that actually was part of my success, was keeping people watching longer.
We've noticed also when we start integrating customer videos and customer tables and stuff that we get more views with that, and people are interested in keeping things moving. And but obviously
Especially
you're very.
a product for you guys to stop and go, hey, let me tell you about the iDry, like, bored. But if you're showing cool footage of all the, the slabs and things going in and out while you're telling them, it's much easier to watch.
And I don't want to I try not to plug the eye dryer or kiln drying as much here and like to hear your stories, but one of the videos that I watched was a pretty significant mistake that happened to some of your tables that you were building, and it had to do with wood being dry or not being dry in the particular situation. And I'm talking about the three tables with some trapped moisture that caused a whole bunch of havoc for you, and I made some great content actually. So I guess
Well,
there's a silver
what's
lining.
funny about that video is, since I'd kind of failed on the project, I didn't have a video, and I just put all that footage aside, and I was like, I don't know what to do. Like, I didn't think that video would ever go out. And then 3 or 4 months went by, and I started thinking about kind of, what is this video about? What is it? And then I landed on, that is the story. That, like, instead of the ending being the furniture, the ending's going to be, I failed, and here's why, what I did wrong, and all that. And there's another one of those kind of happy accidents. That video did really well, for something that I almost didn't release.
Yeah, and it's just all super relatable. Even when you're sliding the slab out of the truck and it gets away from you for a little bit, that's the kind of stuff that we deal with all the time when we're doing projects. And now, I guess get back to when you film your content, it's really like well filmed, and camera angles and placement and lighting. Is that something that you learned as you went, or was it like did you watch videos and train? I know we talked the workbench. What was that? The
Workbench Con.
yeah they teach a lot. There's a lot of influencers and people who make videos there that
Those guys are terrible to teach at that, by
okay.
the way. I'm talking at it this year, and I did last year,
Yeah.
but I'm not afraid to say, like, be careful what advice you take, because they had some video guys there last year. They gave terrible advice.
Okay.
I think they were like Hollywood film guys, is
Okay, yeah.
and like the stuff they're saying was like the furthest thing from anybody that's had success on YouTube has done. Like, you could clearly tell they've never actually done that for YouTube or what these people are doing. So anyway, that's a little rant on being careful where you get advice. Yeah, I started on my iPhone. I got to about 700,000 subscribers. I filmed everything on my iPhone, and I edited everything on my iPhone, just on the iMovie app. I sat there and edited everything, and it was pretty bad content. But I just try to get a little bit better each time. Now I've got a full-time videographer, and we have good cameras and good lights and all that. And we're still, though, trying to get better all the time. all kinds of really good input because he's a professional who's done this in other fields. And then I'll watch something and I'll be like, here's what we should have done. So next time we're doing this, like, I feel like we didn't have this, or it would have been better from this angle. And so just always trying to get better.
Good, good. Because that's great advice. That's where a lot of my, a lot of our customers and people who are in this industry are at now, and myself included. I've got out on site a couple times and I've had my iPhone and they're like, hey, Paul, go get some content for Whiskey and Wood. And it's the same thing. I have to start thinking about which way the light's coming in and camera angles and audio a bit more. And it's kind of outside of the realm of things that I ever thought I was going to have to think about. So it's okay to get better as you go and to eventually get to a place where you are. And
that's what I would stress people is like, just get started and be bad. Because people use any excuse not to get started. And it's always like, well, I'm saving up for a new camera, or I got to learn how to use this editing software, or I got to do this. It's like, just get going. Like don't make excuses.
Great advice. Is there any other advice you'd have for somebody who wants to start making content? I guess that kind of covers it. Just get started and get out there and do it, right?
Watch a lot of content. I don't always enjoy watching YouTube, but I force myself to just kind of market research to, I'd be surprised where I get new ideas. You know, if someone integrates an ad read in a way I hadn't thought of, or somebody has a cool camera angle or a transition or a joke. And it's like, oh yeah, like I could use that. Yeah. And especially when you're starting out, because you'll see a lot of what other people are doing. And, probably the most important thing, we taught a class on this, we have an online course on this, is to people will watch bad video, but they won't listen to bad audio.
It's a good point.
So, and this is a rule that goes back. I didn't come up with a saying, by the way. This goes back to like the Blair Witch Project. Apparently, when it went out to theaters, or when it was going out to theaters, they spent millions getting the audio done when the whole thing was shot with a shaky, camcorder.
Yeah.
And so that's a perfect example that you can have bad footage, but not bad audio.
Yeah, that's one thing that right after I did a couple of videos, I went out and did some research and ordered some wireless mics. And that's something we've got to improve on here. So it's all good, though. I mean, we're getting a lot of good feedback from the people who are watching this podcast. And like I said, super excited to have a guest of your stature come on and chat with us. And it's all about building this industry and building smaller businesses and creators. And that's what it's all about. So,
for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So upcoming projects, you got some more denim stuff coming.
I got the Damascus denims coming out Thursday. Got some kind of a hybrid burnt wood / natural wood table coming out that I'm hoping turns out how I see it in my head, which isn't always the case.
That's the way it goes. You get, then it just kind of adapts. And any crazy big projects this year you're thinking of doing that's been on the back burner? Or
I'm trying to buy a new shop, a new space. I don't have a lot of room for great big projects. So I'm hoping to get a bigger space so I can do some of those bigger projects. But right now it's hard coming up with stuff. That's, feel like I'll come up with a couple of good ideas and feel really good about myself, and before I know it, like I don't have the next idea, and that last video is already out, and I'm like, oh, what do I do?
Yeah, it's got to at one point, being out there and so visible and having all this great content is awesome, but I bet you feel the pressure of, like you said, what am I going to come up with next? What's my next unique idea? And there's some pressure in that itself. And I think you haven't let anybody down yet.
Yeah, I don't want to let people down. I don't want to start. There's a lot of people out there that just make content just because they get X number of sponsor dollars. So they just crank out anything and they don't care. It's amazing, actually, that people, I don't know. I feel like it's a real, you're mortgaging your channel's future by, for a quick buck. And so
I know
I'm trying to keep the same quality of content and the quality of projects high, and it's tough.
That's what and obviously as iDry as a brand, we're always so hesitant to, I've get creators that call us and they want us to sponsor them, or Jim does, and it's also challenging because once we as a brand pay a content creator to say nice things about us, it kind of takes away the value of what they're saying because people understand that, hey, this person was paid to say nice things about them. So we don't always try to go down that route, and we just let our product be out there. And
I don't work with a lot of sponsors anymore. I just think it takes away from the video, and I have my own products and things now. But when I do, I'm just very clear. It's like, it's not going to be stop and let me tell you about this product here. It's just going to be kind of a natural thing. It'll be in there. I'll try to make sure the label's facing out, but I'll disclose it to the people if I am paid. But it's going to be very subtle. And I do think that has more impact in today's age. Maybe 5 years ago, it was better to stop the video and show people. But
Well, are your stairs still standing up? I've been watching those videos lately, and
despite what the comments said, they're still solid.
That's right. Do you go through and read all the comments? Or do you try to steer away from that, or do you really
Oh,
try to?
no, I love the comments. I always go through the comments. That's another piece of advice. If you start doing it, it's your own personal focus group. B companies pay tens of thousands of dollars for these focus groups, and we get them for free.
Instant feedback, right?
And
You do have to develop
even
some thick skin.
even the mean comments you need to read because they might not be wrong. I had a video, my first video not shot on the iPhone. I had my first new good camera, and I thought I did the audio correctly, and I had some people. Some of them were really mean, some of them were polite, but saying how they couldn't hear it on YouTube, and my levels were just way too low. Like after I exported it, I thought I knew what I was doing, but I didn't. And you could hear it, but just enough. You had to basically max out the volume to hear it. And if I would have just ignored it because I didn't want to hear mean comments, who knows how many videos would have
You
went
would have
out
done like that.
with that terribly low audio.
Great advice. Great advice. Well, cool. There's all, I guess, what is your favorite project that you've done so far?
My favorite one, I did a cabinet a couple months ago that was really, really challenging. And I don't build a lot of three-dimensional items. I build a lot of flat tabletops. And this cabinet was three-dimensional, and it turned out pretty much exactly how I was hoping. I got 300 blocks of walnut, inch and a half by inch and a half by 18 inches, and I stacked them all up into this shape of this cabinet and then carved them down into this kind of curved. A lot of people called it a Flintstones cabinet, because it is kind of that mid-century modern shape, a lot of round corners, and that was by design. I wanted people not to be able to figure out how I did all these curves with these blocks, and it took me weeks and weeks of sanding and carving and all that, but in the end it turned out really well.
And where did you learn your carpentry skills? That's just so like a table like that. That's just from your imagination. Obviously, that's not from a book or anything on how to build stuff. You just use techniques that you know and try to get creative with it, it sounds like.
Yeah, I don't love school and
Yeah,
class
same.
and things like that. I have a hardest time even reading like instructions for putting together a whatever, a light. And so I like to just do it, just kind of figure it out. And so for the most part, that's how I do everything is just I'll have an idea. It's not like I stack a bunch of blocks and I don't know what to do next, but I think about it. I'm like, if I get them like this, then I could use this tool to carve that. And then inside I could do this. But yeah, it's just figuring out as I go. And then you always learn a little bit on the way and say, next time I would do this.
It sounds like very similar to me. If I have a project like that, I'll lay in bed at night and I'll think about step one, two, and I'll build the whole thing in my head at night, laying in bed while I'm supposed to be sleeping. And
I do the exact same thing, except I won't let myself do it in bed because I'll stay up all night thinking about it. I'll do it
good.
when I wake up in the morning. If I'm lucky enough to wake up early or like in the shower, like I feel like I take really long showers. So I sit there staring and I do the same thing. I'm putting the pieces together and I go, oh, wait, I can't do that because at this point you'll see the nails or something,
That's awesome. And I'm glad you learned how to shut it off at night. You have to, as being a creator, but as a like side hobbyist and somebody who takes on projects that he probably shouldn't at the house. That's pretty much the only time I feel like I have to. And it's tough because once you get stuck thinking about it, like you said, it's all night. You realize, oh man,
I know. I
3 hours.
just I can't do it. Won't let myself go down that path.
Yeah, good, good. That's healthy then. And yeah, I look forward to seeing what you guys put out. And the denim, I'm surprised you're getting back into the denim because that was a mess. I remember you were maybe sweating
I
it
had to
off.
redeem myself a little bit on the mess. We fixed the mess part.
Nice.
I don't know that it's totally dialed in now, but we did it all in a vacuum bag. So everything was contained this time, and I didn't dunk it and wring it out like an idiot like last time.
That's funny. I wonder if a vacuum press would work. Maybe. Maybe you should do some experience with our plate dryers. So what we use with our plate dryers is there's like an air bag on top. It's kind of like the blob. You remember what's that movie where they put it in the water? Just a big bag, right? So that bag connects to outside atmospheric pressure and then it expands, pressing on the lumber, putting like 160,000 pounds of pressure down on the lumber or denim. I wonder if anything could be done with that. It'd be pretty cool to see.
Yeah, the bag would probably contour to like shapes.
What happens is the plates take up the entire width and length of the
Oh.
chamber, and then it presses on the top of the chamber and down on the plate. So it presses uniformly on the
Gotcha.
plates.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't know. Something, maybe get the ideas flowing with that. I'm sure you'll come up with something crazy.
Who knows? Who knows? But yeah, they will. I'm the denim thing's fun. There's a lot of ideas I have. This one isn't my best one, I think, in terms of what I can do with the denim. I think it's there's a lot of cool patterns, but then I had the idea of like if you use the same shapes underneath the denim, you could make like a book match one, with the same deal like that. Then I almost thought about if I could mimic wood grain if I used really long pieces. And that way, as it goes down, so I got a lot of ideas kicking around, and we'll see what I can actually pull off.
Keep it coming. Is this denim stuff sold already before you build it, or what's the plan with?
No, it's the tough thing with customers is they only want to buy what they've already seen you make, and the tough thing with viewers is they don't want to see you make the same thing again. So I generally put it all, like I'll put this up for sale on my website, and if someone buys it, great. If they don't.
Blacktailstudio.com.
And we've I don't know if you've seen anything of the nano finish we sell.
I actually did. I checked out your website and beautiful finish, but tell us all about it. I'd like to.
It's I don't this doesn't need to be a big ad read, but a little over a year ago we started labeling and selling our own it's we don't call it a ceramic, but for practical purposes, ceramic, but it's made just for wood. And that's a major focus of my business now. It's its own product, M3 Nano. It's like ceramic for cars, but this one's made specifically for wood products, and it's been very well received. And if anybody wants information, N3Nano.com, the number three.
Nano.com. Awesome. A lot of people want to watch you build stuff out of denim and t beautiful tables and epoxy and see you have cracked wood. And it doesn't matter if you're a woodworker or not. And that's what I think is cool about it. I get my mom, I think, has sent me one of your videos because she was watching it, which is awesome.
That's the biggest compliment I can get is when someone's like, I don't like woodworking, I don't watch woodworkers, but I watch this whole video, and I'm like,
Yeah. Awesome. Cool. Well, all right, Kim, we appreciate it and value your time. And hopefully, we'll see you again. Maybe at one of these events, you'll be out and about. We'll try to get out there too.
yeah, come say hey.
Cool. All right, man.
All
Thank
right, see you,
you.
Paul.